Let's read in chapter 14. Let us comment just a little bit this morning. This is Zechariah chapter 14, beginning at the first verse. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. I want to comment on that, but I want to read the revelation of John, St. John the Divine, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, now, as to these things, he will return. He will stand upon the Mount of Olives, for he left from the Mount of Olives. And the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? The same Jesus that ye have seen go away, he shall so come again in like manner." So he will come. The mountain will cleave in half when he comes. And the waters that come out of this mountain will flow right down into the lowest place in the world, which is the Dead Sea. And enter into the Dead Sea, and it will come to life. For the Dead Sea is a representation in the spirit of Israel, which is dead. And though they seem to be nothing, yet there's more wealth in the Dead Sea than all of the world put together. And that means that there's more potentiality within the Jew than all of the religious world put together, because salvation is of the Jew. And though they're dead in the sight of God now, as to being dead for your sake as a scapegoat, that you might have salvation, God having blinded them in part until the fullness of the days of the Gentiles come in. Yet they're coming back to the Messiah. Now, what I want you to think on is that something is happening. We've mentioned to you about James Isaac. We've mentioned to you about our trip to the Dead Sea. We've mentioned to you about the tracks falling in there. We've mentioned to you that after that, we spoke of what would happen to the Dead Sea of life coming into it as to a spa. All these things are great and mighty in the Spirit as to the revealing or revelation of the mind of God, as to what he's done in Christ and veiled it, as to his masterpiece to be unveiled, in that the veil has been rent in twain at Calvary, and to show it to his people, even the image of his own self, his son. So, in this, he'll be coming back. Sister Betty and I, very symbolically, was over there a few days ago during the time of the Scuds, which we had to be there because the vision that I saw of the fire and brimstone coming down just before the millennium and the end, I was under it. It had to come down. It had to be that Mr. Bush was in office. We had predicted he would come to office. He would be God's man for the hour. You know how he's turned to God in all of his things and all of his doing. And that it had to do with the little legend of George overthrowing the dragon, of which Betty brought something like this back from Israel. But while we were over there, in that we were there, Betty and I wanted to go down to Bethany. We went into Bethlehem against the people's wishes and down in the shepherd's field where the angel appeared to the shepherds. And they marveled when we come back because the man said, "You should have been 100% stone." He repeated, "You should have been 100% stone. The valley is full of stones." And we saw Bethlehem shut up, dead and almost lifeless, and the shepherd's field. Then we start down to Bethany. We have friends also in Bethany. And start down to Bethany as to the tomb there of the resurrection. As a matter of fact, we were contemplating buying the little dugout that's right there at the tomb where people look after it. We didn't get to negotiate, but we did buy, as you know, land in the old city, and we bought a building there also. Now, but anyway, we started down to Bethany, and the soldiers warned us. They stopped us and warned us and wouldn't let us go past. So I don't try to be contrary to the law. I don't try to be contrary to the military, because that's not wise. That's a good way to get in prison, to get shot. But nevertheless, I try to be obedient to God, even as Daniel and the Hebrew children, irregardless of the laws or whatever. Because the first law is the law of liberty. I am not a citizen of this world. I am a citizen of heaven. And Jesus made that clear when he said, Peter, who do these men take tribute of? And Peter said, strangers. He said, then is the children free. So on the courts, the high courts of God, someday they'll be tried for treason. But anyway, we went around another way. And Betty and I went up on the top of Mount Olives. And there on the top of Mount Olives, where Jimmy Carter stood when he was over there having to do that thing we spoke of spiritually as to JC. Remember now, God reveals himself in simplicity, and the Bible said God reveals himself in the sense of foolishness as to the natural mind. For the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, and neither can he receive them. No need of him studying, going to college, whatever. He can call it religious college or seminary or whatever, but he will not receive them. The Bible said that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual searcheth out all things, even the deep things of God. All right, so we went to the Mount of Olives. And there, as we stood on the Mount of Olives, there was a young Arab that came up, just one. Ordinarily, there would have been a number of them, but this one came up. And as I told you, he was really upset in seeing things as pertaining to George Bush. I mean, he was really coming down on George Bush. He was saying, Bush bad, Bush bad. I just stood and looked at him. Because I know people are just a little tiny babe that hadn't got out of their diapers. And I don't pounce on them and start a natural war. You know, I don't want to break their neck or have them break mine. Even though the Bible does speak of that ass as being stubborn to break his neck, as to Judas hanging, indicating that that image will go by the way of the cross as to death, as to hanging. Because cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. And Jesus only bore the curse for you and I, in that he hanged upon the tree for us, but not for them, only just for the moment. All right, so then while we were there, he took us another route, and we went over the mountain, and we went down to Bethany. When we got down to Bethany, Bethany was closed tight. We didn't even get to see our friends. So then we turned, and we came away from the tomb of Lazarus and went back up the trail. When we got up the trail back toward the Mount of Olives, there and then down to the old city and there through the new gate, which was highly significant because the trail that we came up was the trail of Palm Sunday, the same trail that Jesus came as he triumphantly entered in as on the resurrection as to what we call Easter. Going in as on Palm Sunday, where they called it Palm Sunday because they wave these palms. Not too long ago down in South America or something took place down there. I still contact back here on Palm Sunday where we entered into a church that day, my wife and I. But coming back, the Arab, of course, didn't know anything much about Jesus. I thoroughly indoctrinated him during the few moments that we had with him. And as Jesus gave him the fishes and loaves, I shared a little money with him. He was trying to sell to make a living, and as the Bible said, money answered through all things. And soon we had his favoritism with the fishes and the loaves. And then, as we began to indoctrinate him, first thing that I understood, he was saying no more about Bush. And he was saying, at first, Bush bad. He was saying good. Bush bad. He was saying good. And finally, he looked at me. He said, he was saying not good. And after a while, he got into the valley of decision. And after a while, coming back up this trail, we stopped just before we departed from him. And he said, wait. And he climbed over a fence, as it would be. And there he went to the olive trees right along there where Jesus prayed till his sweat become his blood, great drops of blood. And he broke off a piece of the olive tree, not knowing what he was doing. He didn't understand it at all. But he broke off a little piece of this, a little limb like of it. And he handed it to, I believe, to my wife. But anyway, he handed it to us, either me or the wife. And he wanted us to have it, which we brought it back home. Well, it didn't seem like much, didn't seem like anything. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, and as he come up the Palm Sunday road, as to the resurrection from that of Lazarus that he raised from the dead, and so shall he enter again into these gates, as to the beautiful gates that are closed, as to the golden gates which we could see from where we were standing at that time, and said unto this broken, little broken limb that had so many leaves on it that come from the trees, as to the olive trees, as to a remembrance or a commemoration, said, and thus it is as Palm Sunday when they wave the branches of the tree. And we brought it home. And it was greatly significant, for from that point, we went in through the new gate. We'd been in through the lion's gate. We went in through the new gate. Through the lion's gate on one occasion, we had prophesied down the street of Dolorosa. And through this gate, we went in through the new gate. And as to the opening of the new gate, which indicates that the golden gates will be open as anew. And then we went around as to where this was more like an entombment. And we purchased that in the old city, which meant the walls as of death had been penetrated, and as to the Old Testament walls of resistance was now gone, as to the ignorance, as to the blindness of the Jews, and that now it was taken away and the veil of death was ready to be removed from them. And as we said, Joseph as to America and Benjamin as to Israel coming together, in that America had won the favor through giving them these things to knock the scuds out, which really spared their life, and they owe their life to America. Even one of their young fellows that said he was coming to visit with me, his dad, one of the managers there at the Hilton Hotel, we found great favor. They brought us free food and made a fuss of us while we was there, and he said, you know, it really meant something to them, as they explained, that the American boys would go and give their lives while they stayed home. And the young fellow said, you know, said there's one thing about it. Said there's nothing more that we could do that America hasn't done. See, at the beginning, the Jews told them they didn't know what to do over there to stay out of that country. And so did Kuwait, that they didn't know how to fight, stay out of that country, that they'd just take them over if they come over there. But the Jews learned, and so did Kuwait, that where God is, that's the majority and that's the victory. Wherever God is, you always win. And as I said, America will never be defeated until the church leaves. It'll never be defeated because this is the place of the church. But when the church is gone, as to the catching up of the man-child, America will be defeated and come under subjection to the Antichrist. She will be just like all the rest, and all the world will know it was Christ within her that had exalted her. For the Bible said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All right, so then we see that America is just about gone. We see that the days of the Gentiles is practically over. We see that even on this Easter morning, as to the resurrection, that we're right here close to the change. And everything is beginning to change. So I tied this together, and I didn't tie it together to look for it, for I did not know where I was going to read. I never know where I'm going to read. I come and I open my Bible, and thus it is that the Lord said. And so then, thus it is that he said this morning, the day of the Lord being at hand. And I tied these few things together. See, I don't read. I read, I study, I pray, but I don't mark things as a rule. I don't have things marked as a rule. And I don't know where I'm going to turn to or read, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever. And he always gives it to me. Because he spoke to me one day and he said, when you're delivered up before the people that you will be delivered up before, take no thought what ye shall say, neither premeditate. For it shall be given you in the selfsame hour. For it shall not be you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking within you. And he said, and they shall all be taught of God. So then let all the world keep silence, for God is in his temple. And here we are this morning, God speaking. See, someone would say, how can it be God speaking, Brother Pike? It is not I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh. How then can I speak if I be dead with Christ as to a natural man? If I be dead with him, I am also resurrected with him in the newness of life. And this is what God is trying to get you to do. He's trying to get you to come to this, and I want you to listen for a few minutes. Because the ones that don't come to this will not be the children of the resurrection, and they will not be saved as going into what you term as the rapture. And I want to clarify it again. There is no such thing as the word rapture in the Bible. You don't find that. No such thing as millennium, as the word millennium in the Bible. That's a man-made application in many, many places. You find terminology as to man-made terminology. And in this, when you find these things, you will find that they can be besetting and they can mislead you. So then I left to stay with the Bible. Nothing wrong with the word rapture. It means caught up. Nothing wrong with the millennium as to the terminology, because it means a thousand. There is a 1,000 years reign, and there is a catching up. But people have gotten so complacent that in the churches of today, they sit waiting for something to happen as to the change. And I try to tell them over and over. I say, folks, the change is going to be, it already happened. You didn't get to go into it. Someone would say, well, what do you mean? I mean, it happens, the Bible said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It happened before I could explain to you. When I popped my finger, as you would say. You understand what I'm saying? Why then does your life center around this as to that when you cannot do anything in that hour at all? The thing that we need to place the emphasis upon is the Christ on the inside, that if you don't have him as to a new birth, you're not going to make the change as what you call the rapture. Where's the change and then the catching up as to word rapture? So you're not going to be able to do that. And the emphasis should be placed on your tutoring as to the church ages, as from glory to glory on the inside of this life of Christ within you, released into this outer body to be made manifest in your mortal genes, to make this body holy, as to conform to the image of Christ. Because the thing that's going to bring the change of your image is this word of life, which is Christ, the word in you being made flesh. This spirit of the word, in that the word is spirit and life, and you've conceived of the seed, his seed that remaineth in you that you cannot sin. So then this seed on the inside as to the spirit is to be made manifest in your mortal genes as to the flesh. And that is the change, is that the word is made flesh. And if there's no word in there, it's not going to be made flesh. Their believing will not do it. It has to be the spirit. There's no life in anything but the spirit. You need to diligently consider what I'm saying to you. Because if you have not his spirit, you're none of his. And folks, you're not going to get a chance after this life. You're not going to get a chance. Once this is over, as to your new birth, then that is it. You have to make the change as to the new birth. I brought a little of this out the other night. You have to make the change as to the new birth here to be born of the Spirit. Paul said in the 19th chapter of Acts, have you received the Spirit since you believe? Or have you received the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, as to the King James personification? Now, have you received this since you believe? And they said, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, well, then under what were you baptized? And they said, under John's baptism, which was under repentance and believe on the name, or him that is to come after us. And when they heard this, they were rebaptized. That means people need to be baptized over if they haven't been baptized in the name. Baptized, rebaptized, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came into them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So that means that if you don't have his spirit, then you're none of his. And if you have his spirit, then it will lead you to do the same things that Jesus done years ago. For Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as a dog nature in a dog's body, so would it be in a cat's body. As a cat's nature in a cat's body, so would it be in a dog's body. As Christ is nature in the God body of Christ, so will it be in your body. And it will change you as to your translation of an instantaneous thing. As to new birth, your spirit emerges into his spirit as the safeguard into the garment, and thus it is sealed to where Satan cannot penetrate it, because he is darkness as to the intellectual, and that mind cannot penetrate that spirit of Christ, which is the mind of Christ, who is the champion of justice, and who is light, for light repels darkness, and darkness dissipates at the appearance of light. There is no fellowship between darkness and light. There's no fellowship between the temples of God and the temples of Belial. When you see a person that says they are Christian and they daily favor somebody that's in the world or run around with somebody in the world, you know that they are lying, because two can't walk together lest they be agreed. They have to agree. That's why Jesus and Judas separated one from another when the test come. They cannot walk together. I made the statement that Mr. Bush and Mr. Gorbachev would cross up, and they did. I said they cannot walk together. And though the Lord revealed to me that Gorbachev, that they would find out that he was religious, which they did, and that Mr. Bush would go into office, which he did. But as to Christianity, as to understanding the right thing, it's a different situation altogether. But anyway, we find then that this great light that is coming is being comprehended by us. To them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, unto them great light is sprang up. Now, I read to you here the day of the Lord, the coming of the day of the Lord. See, the day of the Lord, the coming of the day of the Lord. And then I turned to you to the book of Revelation. And when I went to the book of Revelation, I read to you the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does the revelation of Jesus Christ mean? It means the revealing of the Lord. The revelation means the coming of the Lord, or the revealing of the Lord. I read to you the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, as the Zechariah, they prophesied of the coming of the Lord. And everybody looked forward to this as to the desire of ages, as to his coming. And they missed his coming as to the bodily presence, as to coming in the image of iniquity, humbling himself to make sure his friend, as of the beast sort, born in the manger and rising from there to sonship, even as you, a beast, born in the manger of this world, rising from this manger, as to the inner spiritual man, out of the dung of his heart of intellectual reasoning, that of the beast, out of the manger, to the changed image of the sons of God, which image ye shall bear at the change. Now, I spoke of the coming of the Lord, that it was to come, a great day that it was to come. And then I went to the book of Revelation, and I read to you the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God hath given unto his servant John, or the angels to reveal unto his servant John, or send his angel to signify, and that angels can't preach the gospel. All right, so then in this, when this comes, when I say angels, I'm speaking of the heavenly souls without a body. It takes a body to preach, which there are angels in the earth as messengers. So then, with this, I read where it said, and as with the revelation of Jesus Christ, I read to you, and the time is at hand. The time is at hand. It said here as to the day of the Lord. And then it said as to the time being at hand. And so then John, the Bible says, that he entered into the day of the Lord. He heard a voice and a door was open, and he went up into the day of the Lord. Someone would say, you mean that John went into the day of the Lord? The Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, because the Lord's day is within the Spirit. And that's why we try to get you into the Spirit. That's why we try to reason with you. That's why we try to tell you to worship the Lord. God is the Spirit. He inhabits the praise of his people. We create the right atmosphere, and then he illuminates us as to the stimulation that is to make us aware of his presence within us, in stirring up the pure mind as to the mind of Christ. So then, as entering into the day of the Lord, see, John was in the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord cometh, the Bible said. And then as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the rent veil as to Calvary, the opening of the curtains upon the last great drama of life, and thus the presentation. And there it comes. As to the rending of the veil, which veil is your intellectual veil of death that fell over the mind of the woman as to the weaker species, as to the weaker vessel, which meant falling over humanity as to the flesh, and that the woman is symbolic of the body. And this intellectual veil of death remaineth, Paul said, in his day when he got the revelation, he could see that, and the light shows up the darkness, and he saw there was darkness there, in that he had come into the light. And he said, and this veil of death, it remaineth over the face of the people, even unto this day, untaken away, as to the reading of the Old Testament, which veil as to the blindness of part to the Jews, till the Gentiles' time is finished. And the Bible said, and this veil, like sometimes a child is born and there's a veil over him, and people get all frustrated over that. The veil of death. See, the veil of death. If I looked out there and I saw a dark shadow move over your face, like Brother Branham has seen things like this. I've heard him speak of it, or maybe a picture too. But anyway, if a veil moved over you, I never did explain these things that I know of. But anyway, if a veil moved over you that I saw, and I say, I see the Spirit out here doing such and such, or I see thus and thus and thus, it would mean your intellectual mind, which is interwoven, the mind that you have from your birth, which is interwoven with death. Your intellectual thinking, it is shown as a veil, as covering your head here, even if I saw it as a shadow. I don't have to see it as a shadow because I see it the other way so easily. Seeing always the things that my Father does, in that I look into the Spirit. And I hear because I am his son. Now, so then, with this veil coming down, it's like as in the olden days when they would put this veil of death over the subject before they would maybe behead or hang or whatever they would do. This veil that was over Rebekah's face, as when Eliezer went to the land of the kindred of the mother, gave the gifts as God has given us gifts as today, is through the resurrection, and Eliezer as the Holy Ghost, and those 10 camels as the 10 commandments of God, as looking at them spiritually and just talking to you and exhorting you a little bit, that they could contain the waters of life, in that the Bible said the law is spiritual, but we're carnal, sold unto sin. That which was ordained unto life we find to be unto death. And I have to kind of condense, compound thing to keep from taking hours and hours just to detail a little bit of these things. Like putting a puzzle together. Just to get enough of it together to where you can understand. But anyway, Rebekah being on this, as she was upon this gamble, coming to meet Isaac, and in the evening time, as we would say, the evening time of life as to the Lamb, looking for the bride, and going, as Paul said, to get a bride, not me living but Christ. So then as the camel moved toward Isaac, who had gone out in the evening time for meditation, she saw Isaac and she was fascinated with him. And so are we. When our eyes come open as to the discovery of this pearl of great price, we're willing to sell all that we've got. I see people, they say, well, I can't give this up. And I want to smoke a little bit, and I want to drink a little bit, and curse a little bit, and frolic a little bit. And as a man said, it's over the television stations here in Atlanta, not too long ago, he said, if I have to give up women and drink, and said, no. So, see, they don't want to give up things. But that's because they have never seen the pearl of great price. When she heard of the fame of Isaac and the riches of Isaac, though she was far away and had to be committed to a stranger as to what she would have known, and yet he wasn't a stranger, he was of the kindred. For Christ is no stranger to us. Satan is the stranger. As was said in the days of David, as to Nathan, a stranger came by, and will not obey or honor or hear the voice of a stranger. When we see this, we see how carried away she was. And she quickly left her parents. As to say, the kindred of this world, come ye out
from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Come out of the world. For if you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father is not there. For God has set the world in them that are born into this world. For the world is Satan's spirit. Just like he hath taken that out as to an eradication through new birth. And put the kingdom of God within you, which is Christ's spirit. For all things of God are in Christ. And all things are yours because you have Christ who is all things. You have the mind of Christ. You should have an unction from the Holy One. That you should know all things because that is the mind of Christ. But to make it manifest in your mortal body is the determining factor as to 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold, or as going on to a full reward or to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. As to say, being a child or being as to the feminine gender or being as to the masculine or being equal to the master. To be perfect. To overcome and sit down in the throne with him. So, I said that to say this, that when Rebekah saw Isaac, she quickly put the veil over her face. Because the Bible said the woman is to be shamefaced. Because she's in the transgression. And shamefaced indicates that she is covered with a humility. She is humiliated. And she's covered with humility. And that is because she is blind only through her husband. She is blinded in that the intellectual veil has blinded her. Folks, you can see how necessary it is for us to come to Christ. If we be in the feminine gender, if the flesh is thus in the world, then it cannot see when good comes. It is intellectually blinded by Lucifer, even the god of this world, as to a spirit infiltrating our body and would be our spirit, suppressing and controlling it. So we see that the veil is the body, the veil of death. The dispute is over the veil. As the veil that was over Moses' face, and the Bible said they could not steadfastly look unto that light, as to a light or a covenant that is now abolished. Now, the veil has been rent in twain at Calvary. And Jesus, having made in himself twain as to both, Lord and Christ, has separated the Lord from the Christ to say your body from your spirit. And now your body is dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus. And the Christ in you, as to your spirit, is gone back to God who gave it, in that he receives Christ and your spirit interwoven with Christ. Thus he has received you into the spirit, and the spirit be in heaven. Then are you hid with Christ in God until or unto the coming of the millennium, the restoration of all things. And the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto that day of the changes, to the redemption, as to the purchased possession, which is the body, which body he purchased at Calvary. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the spirit. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Kill that bastard image. Do away with it. Don't let it live. Kill it. It's a thief and a robber. Not because of the body, which is the temple of God, but as to the infiltration of the lying vanity that has come and taken it as a covering to overshadow you or to illuminate you with his presence of evil and the glory of his frolics. Do away with that image and that inspiration and turn to the inspiration of life and the senses of God, which is by faith, that the inner man may grow. And as Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, until this little Christ on the inside of you breaks forth into your blood genetics, and the world can see Christ as to your glory and the illumination, as to the world seeing the light and coming to this light of the Gentiles, as to the rising even from the end of the earth. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so then the veil is there. But when Rebekah was taken into the secret chambers, as the Bible said, and he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the original rendering of that, as I say, when you check it out, it is the secrets of God. And the secrets of God shall be finished, as to say in King James Version, the mystery. So then, when she was taken into the secret places, has to say to you like little children, little children, little children, because we are little children to the great intellects of the world. And our little children are small to us because they do not understand as to maturity. And as to these things that the scientists of the world saw, we little children. And so in God is the great wonderful mind of God. Then are ye little children. Paul said, my little children. Jesus said, feed my lambs. So then I say this to you, that when she was taken into the secret chambers, then the veil was moved. And as to the woman's beauty that represents the church, as to her always wanting to make her face pretty, and it's certainly not pretty when you paint it up like they do when they embalm you. You know, in the embalming room, they take you, I say again, they cut the jugular vein, they take all the blood out of you, and you don't have any color anymore because your color is the blood. And so then they have to rub rouge and rub rouge into your cheeks, fix your eyes, do all these things. I've seen them stand there, they curl the hair up and fix the hair up. As to the plaiting of the hair, as to the wearing of gold and silver, and not as to the inner adorning of that of the hidden man of the heart. So you have to have the wealth of the world to do all that. Whereas God gives us that, and then more, because he makes us to ride upon the high places of earth to give us the desires of our heart, and his blessing maketh the rich and had no sorrow. But we use it for God, and we use it for the needy, and use it as life demands us to necessitate things. But anyway, when the veil was gone, once the veil was gone, her radiance and her beauty was seen as of her husband, such as is the unveiling, in that you are people of union, of reproduction, and that is only your prerogative as to the priorities of life, and that is as unto you, which is your own body. And they were both naked, and they were not ashamed, because nudeness is not for shameless, because God created man, and there's nothing evil or ungodly about it. For the bed of the married is undefiled and all, is to multiply and replenish the earth. But the degraded mind of Lucifer, when they said, we are naked, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? He knew there was a knowledge somewhere that had conflicted with the knowledge of God, and it was a corruptible knowledge, a depraved side of life, and that's where the sin is. For to be intellectually, to be carnal-minded is death. And all of your lusts come from the tree of knowledge and your educational world. And all of your frolics comes from that world. And all of your ball games and all of your races and everything that be of the flesh comes from that world. All of the gullible desires of life as to passions, as overcharged, and all of these kind of things of dope and drinking and whatever comes from that mind, from that world. Because Satan savors the things that be of the body to get out of the dry places. He hath a time there in the bodies, I've said so many times to you. And that time is a limited time, in that when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, he goes out. And he can't be in the presence of grace anymore, as to God through grace by living in a human body. Even as the sons of God that come present themselves before God. As to those that are born again, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? All give an account. He cannot do that. So it's very evident that all those things come from Satan and from the world of Satan, who savors the things that be of the flesh. And he doth have a time. For it was said, as when Jesus went into the land of Gadara, and there, when the two came exceedingly fierce, and one came to him, and Jesus said, what is thy name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. The man was possessed with devils, and the devils cried out. When they saw they couldn't scare Jesus, even though he was fierce, he could break chains because of this inner might of that power. So fierce he was. As with Samson, it was the Spirit of God that could rend a lion. As with Lucifer, a fallen angel, much stronger than your spirit, energizing, he popped the chains. They couldn't bind him. And so then when he saw that Jesus wasn't afraid, then he was afraid. As the Bible said, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Don't try to resist him until you get filled with the Spirit. And the Bible said, be full of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So then, with this, he began to beg and plead for mercy. And they said, have you come to torment us before our time? They knew that they had a time. And toward the end of that time, Satan will be like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's why the youth of today are having such a horrible experience. Horrible experience. The very days are illuminated with his evil presence, because more and more people that have been religious, that knew to do right and would not do it, has turned away, and the light has got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And the darkness got greater and greater till the Bible said gross darkness will cover the people as to their own intellectual reasoning, going to their own understanding, doing their own things. The whole world has gone into a fleshly frolic as to the love of money, the root to all evil. And as to the love of the things of the world, as to the love of the world within you. So then, in this great contest, as to them that are the gates of hell, as to the love of the world within them, them that are the gates of heaven, that have the kingdom of God within them, they are at battle. And the great battles in the heavenlies, because both of them are as to the Star War, as to Reagan, and many, many things that we've said, and many, many things that we could say, as to detail this as to a present day application, to where you could see it more in a portrait, as the vision I saw when I saw the beautiful portraits in heaven. So, in this, the end of the world is here. The end of the world is here. What is the end of the world? The end of the world is the end of a mind. A mind is a world. Each individual here has a world of their own. It's the sovereignty of your own mind. And in that mind, you can wallow in the mire. In that mind, you can sit in heavenly places. In that mind, you can have your body in Georgia and still be in California. Or have your body in California and wherever the heart is, that's home. And you'll be back at home in your spirit. See, so it is the world. And as I say so often, it might be bright in your world. The sun might be shining. It might be a springtime morning. But in another man's mind or woman's mind, it might be black as night. It may be fear and frustration in the storm clouds outside, and the hail is beating upon the windows, and they are in terror, and they're begging for somebody to give them a light, or somebody to come and open the door to give them freedom. As we sing that song, "In bars of bones house my soul, but the doors of clay is going to burst wide open when the angels come, set my spirit free." So I said all that again to say this, that entering into the secret chambers, the world of the veil was gone. Folks, at Calvary, the world of the veil is gone. He rent it in twain. He separated us to separate the Lord from the Christ, to fold up the law and lay it away as to the flesh, that you may be free of the iniquity as to the bodily image of the bastard child, which he said, "I will despise in the morning light," when the light comes. See, it's gone, but Calvary, it's gone. Jesus took it away. And even in the presence of the Father, as he looks upon the world, God doesn't even see that image, because he cannot look upon iniquity. But when the light of the church has gone out and the darkness comes, then they will be smitten as the bastard child image, and that the kingdom filled with darkness, until they will gnaw their tongues with pain. And this great light as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, John seeing it, walking with Christ, just a few short years later, on the Isle of Patmos, exiled to this little rocky island of Patmos off the Asia coast. There he was writing the revelation, the revealing of Calvary, the revealing, the rending of the veil, back to Calvary. As there on that little island in Asia Minor, here he was writing. You'd find this little island on the map if you look, called Patmos. Here he was writing. He had entered into the day of the Lord. Folks, ever since Calvary, we've come to the day of the Lord. Today is the day of the Lord, the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. You've come to the day of the Lord. You've entered into the day of the Lord. And even the world is illuminated with the brightness of his love, as to woo us, because the Bible said, "Surely the love of God constraineth me and leadeth us to repentance." And here we are, coming to acknowledge our sonship, because we are sons. The world is enjoying the frolic, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they are denying the Lord God, and they are freakish, but they're still getting his blessings, and will be charged with the day of judgment, that his love was so great and they were so cruel and evil, and that they spun the grace of God. They shunned it. So, when we think of this, that we have entered into the day of the Lord, we rejoice, because it is said in the New Testament that we should enter into his rest, which is the day of the Lord. For on the seventh day he rested from all his works. And folks, we're coming down to the end of the way, as a day to 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day with God. Peter said, here we are at the ending of this 6,000 year. And now the seventh day of his rest is to the millennium, where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years and nothing shall harm. In all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord, even as I saw the vision having to do with the war and then the millennium coming in. We're right down at the end of the way now. He was teaching on this as to dates, calendar dates, and as to what was happening when the war broke out. And now, entering into the secret chambers as Rebecca, having the veil of intellectual move, that our eyes might be enlightened. As a little child's eyes that light up when you give him something, sparkle as you give him something pretty, or a little ice cream and cake to the taste of the buds as to the baby. So we're finding that this is the day of the Lord. It's been the day of the Lord ever since Calvary. And we've entered into the day of the Lord. America was a type of that, symbolic of that, as to the church world. See, and we are ending the church ages for the millennium as to the Jews. And God will then have rest, because with the coming in of the Jews, Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, then what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Or if the casting away of the Jews be the members of his body as to Jesus, and the head is thus cut off from his inheritance as to their rejection, what will the coming in of the Jews be except that they will accept the Lord Jesus as to the head coming back, and that he will set up his government in all the earth, and the will be done as to God in all the earth. For we pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, even as Calvary, the kingdom of God being here, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Or as to in the kingdom of God within us, thy will be done within our body as to the dustlings of the earth, as it is done within our spirit as to faith. So then, as to the end of the world, God will rest, because his Christ will be sitting on the thrones of our heart, or sitting on a throne in this natural restored earth in the millennium. So we see that we have already, through the Spirit, as to Christ, entered into the day of the Lord. And the Jews are yet, through the Jesus, to accept him as Messiah, the blood of atonement, to enter into their day of the Lord. And they will. They will. When they say, where did you get the nails? He said, in the house of my friends. Then the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord cometh, Zacharias said, as he saw the prophetical utterance. He was on the Jewish part, and he said, it's coming, folks, as to the Jew, as to Daniel, and to determine upon thy people 490 years, Daniel and I saw. And folks, I tell you again, it doesn't matter what people say that you don't know when it's coming. It doesn't matter what people say, but you can't tell, or nobody understands. There he was 490 years. That would bring the end of the world, and there won't be 1 second beyond that. Not 1 second beyond that. And I told you that this was stayed as to one thing, as to 483 years, as to Calvary, and from that the church ages, which is the open door in heaven, as to you that have caught up into heaven, as to the rent veil, and that last 7 years is to make that 490, as it's put with the 483. When that gap is closed, the days of the Gentiles over, the door of heaven is closed, as to that John saw up in heaven. And with that, it'll just be 7 years as to the Jews, and then that'll be the consummation of the world. And even in the middle of that, the angel swears, time shall be no more, to take them back, as to the presenting of the nail prints in the hand, to take them back to Calvary as though it was today. With them, because they've been blinded, they wake from their sleep. And the same day as to what the Gentiles receive as a salvation, they'll be there in that same day. As to the day of the Lord coming, it'll be a dark day, the writer said. It'll be a sad day. And yet for you and I, it'll be a bright, lovely day. Because the light will shine to our good and benefit, and the darkness will be to their destruction. And as it was when they come out of Egypt with the blood applied to them, that went toward Canaan. Here Pharaoh was cut off, and all of his people cut off, as to the Red Sea, as to Calvary, as to the blood. And when they looked, as to what they saw was darkness, nothing but darkness. But as the children that was on the other side of the darkness was looking the other way, all they saw was light. Light. So the blindness is there, and the veil has to be moved. And that veil of death, if it is moved, then are you a child of the resurrection. Then are you a child of light. If it isn't moved, You'll always love the world. You'll be a bond's child. You'll go the way of the world. You'll never perfect your ways before God is perfecting wholeness under the Lord. And coming into perfection is to make this perfection manifested in your mortal genes as to your efforts. You'll never come into it. You'll never come into it. And if you don't make it manifest in your being, then one will say, well, if I got the Spirit of God, still I am His. No. Because if you don't make it manifest, it means you don't have it. For life on the inside will manifest itself. If there's a child in there maturing, that child will eventually rend the matrix and come forth. As Jesus, the womb of Mother Earth, as it came forth unto life. Now, so then we see that the day of the Lord is at hand. It is at hand. The coming of the revealing, the revelation or revealing of Jesus Christ as Christ, the quickening spirit. We have known him after the flesh. As to the Jews, he'll come with the nails in his hand. But he said unto you and I, we're to know him no more after the flesh, but after the spirit. We're not to know any man after the flesh, but as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the body of God, members in particular, as to his bride, as to Jesus who is the head. So then we see that on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work, all of his labor. He rested from all of his work. I want you to stand with me. Just exalt you a little bit. The Bible said exalt more as you see the day approaching. There's many things that we'd like to say. Hundreds and thousands of things. It perhaps would seem a little bit difficult for you to believe this. But we have said thousands and thousands and multiplied thousands and thousands of things day and night to people. Sometimes talking for hours and hours and hours, and sometimes talking all night long. Many times in our life. And therefore we have, as Paul said, much revelation that's given us from him. And because of that, the devil gives us much problems. It's like somebody said to one of the brothers yesterday, said, Brother Pike, it looks like the devil never leaves you alone. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, always giving us the victory, even this victory that overcometh the world, our faith as to confidence in his righteousness and his way as to what he said, that he will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that we have all things that pertain unto life because of him. That he'll always be a present help in the time of need. And that his strength is sufficient. So, we realize then that we are children of God. Not going to be, but we already are sons of God. And you are children of the resurrection. And now the light has come. And the Bible said, arise, O Zion, and put on thy beautiful garment, for thy light has come, which is the revelation of Christ, as to the city of New Jerusalem, as to the body, as to lively stones, as Paul said, built up to that capstone, as that pyramid, as that prism of Calvary. When he said it is finished, all things as to a type in the Old Testament, and now from there all as to the Spirit in the New Testament. So, we see her light most precious as she descends from heaven. Her light most precious as from within you to your bodily earth to change it, to take away the briars and the curse, as to bring in the Canaan of the new harvest, even the mind of Christ. Has to feed upon the fruits of the Spirit, and not the fruits as unto death. So then, as we see this, and even as the light is coming from heaven, even Christ, the Bible said, and he shall appear, even the great light, God, who is the great light, into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen or can see. Jesus Christ alone is the Word of Spirit, as to life, dwelling within this light, hath immortality. And you and I, being the members of his body, thus are we in the light. And if we're in the light, then are we children of light. And if we be of the light, then we have comprehended the light. And we should walk in the light on to comprehend the fullness as we go on day by day. That we walk in the light even as he is in the light. That we can have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all of our sins. So walking in the light. We sing that song. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Let's sing that little chorus about that. We'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops
mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Can you sing it with me?
I'll walk in God's light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, you're the light of.
Remember now, Jesus is the light of the world, and you're that body, members in particular. So let your light shine. And the Bible said, and that great light is to God appeared from heaven. And with the coming of the light, as to the Ancient of Days, heaven passed away and earth passed away. And behold, there shall be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And with the great light, the mountains passed away and the ocean ceased to be. And with that bright light, there was found no more the image of the bastard child, as to the consummation of the shadows, and the shadows are gone, because we need not the veil anymore, for the light is here, and we see the true image, even as it is, as it was before the world ever was, when we were found in Christ, for this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And this is the joy that Jesus said, Father, restore unto me, even the same joy I had with thee before the world ever was, even the joy and jubilance of knowing that we are eternal, and that we have eternal lives, that we have no more fear and frustration, no worry of anxiety, of pressures, all these other kind of things, for we are alive, alive forevermore. It just dawned on me, I believe, this is Rob's mother. It just dawned on me after all this time, Rob, forgive me. I was standing here looking at her as my eyes passed in fro, but it just dawned on me then, as I heard the Lord say, this is his mother. We're certainly glad to have her here. She comes out of Missouri, is it? Out of Missouri. It's a real pleasure to have Rob's mother here. Rob, his little family, and Brother Howard, some of the finest people I ever met. And it's a pleasure to have the mother here. And I saw one or two others who were scattered around here. It's kind of hard for me to tell. The lights, they glare up here, and I'm not sure, you know, and I'm afraid to say anything. I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. But I wonder if that's Terry. Is Terry back there? Okay, I thought it was Terry, but I couldn't tell. And it looks like Terry and his wife and maybe some other folks there with them. Or I think I know these others. It looks like Daryl's daughter, is it? Or is it? I can't hardly tell with these lights like this. But anyway, there's some folks back there sitting along beside them. All right. Now, I'm happy. Are you happy? How could you know this and not be happy? That's proof that you don't know it. For serving God is joy unspeakable and full of glory. This makes you be filled with joy that's unspeakable. No words of expression to express it. And it's just filled with the glory of God. It's just filled with the glory of God. Because I know I am eternal. I know I pass from death unto life. I know I am a son of God. I know I shall never come into condemnation. I know that no one can lay anything to my charge. I know I am alive forevermore. Though I once was dead, now I am alive forevermore. And I heard the voice that come up hither. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Even the door that's open in heaven. Even the revealing is of the rent veil of Calvary. To make within his own flesh a new way, as to a new gate and a more sure word of prophecy, as to redeem that which is under the law, as to say, go within the walls, as to the walls that they've cut through in Old Jerusalem just recently as a road down to the Jewish quarters, as to bypass the death, as to the Arab destruction. Whereas, folks, God is no respecter person, as to the Jews, as to the Arabs, as to the Gentiles, as to the German, as to the Chinese, as to the Negro, as to the Caucasian, as to English or whatever it might be, the black man or the white man or the yellow man or the red man, we are God's darling children, and he is our heavenly Father, and he is variety in his house, even as we have variety in our desire as to what we would like, as even in the world of color. And he hath prepared all men's heart alike, and that is to seek after Christ. And in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither Greek nor barbarian, learned or unlearned. There's no black and white. There's no yellow. There's no red. There is just Christ. Christ. And the beauty of the radiance of the new celestial body. As to the brotherhood of heaven, so it is in the earth. As in earth, so it is in heaven. As to a heavenly brotherhood. Can we sing that one more time now? Let us walk in God's light, His beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy is bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, You're the light of the world. One more time together. We'll walk in the light. Remember, You're the light of the world now, so let Your light shine. The midnight cry. They said, behold, the bridegroom coming. They went out to light their lamps. And the great trumpet sounded. And the bridegroom come at the darkest hour of the intellectual reasoning. When gross darkness has covered the people, He'll rend the veil and the light will show through. And the Lord, for the time is at hand. I'll walk in God's light, His beautiful light. I'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day. Night, Jesus, the light of the world. Okay, let's change the pitch a little, Brother Taylor. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
Are you ready for the bridegroom to come?
Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Better be ready for the bridegroom to come. Better be ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all robed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. One more time. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, for all robed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Just one more time. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom. Ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. All right, let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. The altars are open as we sing this chorus together. Give me another key.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. And I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. But this is the day my Lord hath made. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
One more time.
For this
is the day.
That the Lord hath made. And will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad. And
sing with me now. For this
is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, I'll be glad.
That my Lord made. Okay, let's sing a little chorus that we sing so often. And the altars are open. If you would like to come, we'd like to see you come. And as Brother Taylor sang, the stone has been rolled away. Maybe we'll sing that song again, Brother Taylor. I was going to sing another, but maybe we should sing this one. This is Easter morning. Twice in a row won't be too much for them. And I would suggest while we're singing that if you've never made the great commitment to God, then make the great commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that I've committed unto his trust, he's able to keep against that great day. And if you'll make that commitment to God, you'll forever, eternally be happy. And I would suggest that all of you just come to the altar as we sing this morning. Can we sing The Stone Is Rolled Away? I'm a little hoarse, but you can sing.
Gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death, triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, reigns forevermore.
Sing it again.
Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, I saw the tomb and it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forever.
Now, things are taking place this morning. Great, mighty things are taking place. It's the spiritual things. I see always the things my Father does. And I try to do the things I see my Father do. And as we walk in the Spirit, we know His voice. And we see Him as He is. You cannot live and see God. But if you be dead with Christ, then are you dead to the things of the world? And then are you in the light, even as He is in the light, and God is the light. And you can see the light, you can see God. For being creatures of the day, you have eyes to see the light. Others being creatures of the darkness, they intellectually reason their way to destruction. I watched this morning as Brother Lambert's boy come, having been separated for quite a while. Everybody's life has to do with something. And walking in the Spirit, I see their life. I see who they are, and I see what they are in Christ, and I see what they're born into the world to do, and I see what they're supposed to do. And what they will do, and though they chide a lot of times, as I've had visions and someone would say, oh no, your vision is not of God. But I said it is, and it'll come to pass, and it did, and it does. But anyway, I watched as Terry, having been with us here at Bethlehem, as to the law, and was there as on our security. And as it was with Jesus, he was as to that of the law, as to that which came. And then there came the time of the death and the departure. And though, as it would be as to one that loved the Lord deep down inside, even if there's rebellion in the outer person, as to God's allowance because of a babe that's born in a manger, her Christ form within us, or that is to say as to an allowance of immaturity, as to the mother that cherishes the little one. And so he allows, and thus he fulfills the allegoric types and shadows of our life as to the great spiritual world. And then I watched yesterday, very carefully watched, as to Brother Jerry. It's his job, as the Lord hath appointed him, to make sure that there's light in this temple. And the Bible said, and the Lamb was the light thereof. As in the temple, so is Christ in you, even the light of the world, as to whatever measure you surrender to. And Jerry had to have some bubs right here. Some of them were gone out. And as Father and Son, as God usually works, Terry spoke up and said, I believe I've got some. And I watched, even as from the dead, as to the resurrection, even as to the Son, as to delight the Father's heart. So then comes the resurrection, as to this Easter morning, as to bring about an allegoric time that you and I might clearly see what God is doing as to the resurrection from the dead. For they that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. But Jesus said, having been once dead, now I'm alive forevermore. Can we sing together? Give me another.
And he was here all the time, and he was here all the time.
Can you sing that with me?
Waiting patiently in line, my Lord was here all the time.
Sing that with me now.
My Lord was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time.
It's like the song I wrote, and all of the children are coming home. And sure enough, all of my children are coming home. They're coming, every one of them, as we said, having to do with the Jews at the time of the return. And so it is, allegorically speaking, as to the fulfillment of the days of the Gentiles. That is to say, as leaving off with them and having defeated the law as to the problems that they gave us here in Monroe especially. And having defeated all the problems where they came from all over the world to assail, to cause us problems here. And yet it was all put to silence. And the Lord stopped the mouth of the gainsaying. We triumphed over all of it. And the Bible said, why did they gather themselves together? Was it not against my Christ? Why did the heathens rage and imagine vain things? Said, I know it was against Christ. It was in you that this all comes about. But nevertheless, one shall put 1,000 to flight. Two shall put 10,000 to flight. And the Bible said, if you ways please God, he make thee and thine enemies to be at peace with you. For they'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways, even as the enemy did before America in the symbolic sense. Well, as we're singing, I heard the Lord say, I want your wife to come up here. So I'd like for Betty to come up here. I remember we had the vision not too long ago, and it's been a 1, 2, 3 that come out of that vision, even as a phone call that came from Missouri today. And in this vision, I was falling over the rocks into a great, deep, rocky ravine. And a great hand come down and picked me up like that. He picked me up and brought me up in a resurrection. And then I found myself laying on a bed looking up like that, happy and whole. My wife laying over here close to me, which the vision came to pass exactly. And then when I looked, I saw the Lord. So beautiful he was. But his hand reached out like this. His hand reached out like that. And it was the most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life. I never seen anything like it. His hand was so beautiful. And I looked and I just screamed out within my soul. And I said, oh my God, I wish that my wife could see that. But I know that she can't. I hear him speaking to me then. He spoke to me then. And the Lord looked at me kind of stern-like. And then he turned like that as to motion with his head to my wife to wake her up. And the Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. And immediately, she awoke. And before I could say a word, she awoke and she come up like a spring and grabbed that hand and she cleaved to that hand. And then away went the vision. And I said, Lord, what could that mean? The coming of the Lord is to the ministry. And the coming of the Lord is at hand, is to the revelation. And my people, as I saw them here asleep in the vision, they're going to awake and they're going to see my glory. And they're going to cleave to that ministry when they see that. And nothing shall be able. There was no way I could have gotten a loose from that hand. And sure enough, Betty's eyes is coming open to these wonderful things that she shares with the sisters. And I thank the Lord. She had a little problem with her hand. I told her, I said, Sister Betty, I think this is by way of remembrance. So you remember that hand. And Sister Mariana called today from Missouri. Her and Sister Betty tries to console her. She's an aged person and she needs help. And she had fallen and broke her left arm. And Sister Betty offered a little bit of compassion. But the Gateway of the West, I really saw something in these things. Perhaps you see these things, maybe you don't see these things as to whatever. But a person can receive nothing except it be given them of God. But Betty, I want to come up here. If I heard the Spirit say, she must come up here because this morning is the resurrection. It has to do with the redemption of the body and the woman being the man's glory as to them being one in Christ. That she should come. And of course, the little sweater she's got on here, she's never worn it before. Even though I got it at a spectacular time that had to do with these things that we're saying, and that out of Indiana. But anyway, I got her thanks out of Indiana. This one did it come at the same time with the others. We're here. We started out together to preach the gospel. We preach the gospel around the world. The Lord is still blessing us with our broadcast through Israel. And someone just called us from, I guess, Florida. I don't know just where it was. And they said, do you remember me? I said, yeah. I said, Joseph? What's his name? Anyway, he has an airway as to satellite under contract for 3 years. And he said, Brother Pike, I don't have ministers on here.
Patterson.
What was it?
Ron Patterson.
And he said, but I want your program. He said, I think this message should be given out to the world. And so this is a satellite program. And said, I want to give you free time on here to preach this gospel. And so then we went on another radio station, and recently, even here in Monroe, we've been on Monroe before. Steve, Somebody went up there and put a program on of this message. They wanted it up there. And in different places, different people support a message. They want to do it. So this morning, it has to do with the redemption, as to the redemption of the body, as to bringing that in. For in I come here, Betty and I was just like this. I mean, I could think, and it's almost as if she would do it. I could think, and she could tell it. She was with me so much that probably, she's probably one of the most phenomenal people in the world as to relating to her husband. And when we got here, the gap got wide. And the more the children are, the more the counsel with mother before daddy ever gets to say good morning. But anyway, Sister Betty counsels with the ladies many, many times. Her phone rings day and night, day and night. Before she come to church this morning, it rang numbers of times before she could get to church. And sometimes she's late coming to church, not as a rule of negligence, but because there's just so many people calling, long distance calls or whatever, has to leave the 99 that's safe within the fold to go look for the stray. And we have preached around the world, and at this time, we must come back together, which means, as I said, in harmony with the things I said, that the church is sealed in as to your part in it, as to indicating a headship, as to that which has come into the earth to take the church out, as to the revival being over with all of these preachers and all these things. As we said, the light's going out. And so they have. You know how that since we said that they've gone out to the extent that they've found folly in one life, and then another life, and then another life, and then another life, and one movement, another movement, till they've gone to ball games and races and everything else. That which is the love of the flesh, Satan has taken his toll. So then in the coming back, as to the God change, the God union, as to the union of the body, as to membership in particular, then my wife denotes that in her life. She follows that. And if she would tell you, though I haven't bothered to ask her, but if she would tell you, and at this point she would gladly tell you, that she's been real, real, real distant. Not as to an arrogancy or not iron me, but as to her mind conglomerated with your problems, their problems, my natural children's problems, to the extent that we haven't been like that. Only in the respect I have for her, and she has for me, and she can say amen.
But he's still working on me. Now, I was thinking this morning, I'd sure love to be like him. Because I see him, you know, so much like the Lord Jesus. Sister Frances called me this morning. I said, she asked me how he was. I said, he's fine. I said, night before last, he didn't go to bed. Last night, he didn't go to bed. He was on his knees all night. And I feel like I'm a poor example sometimes, you know, of a real Christian. But in about a week, we'll be married 44 years. And I can truly say that in my heart, I feel like he's the greatest man that's ever walked on earth. He has given his life. And I know, you know, that even praying sometimes. This morning I got up early and was praying, and I said, Lord, bring my mind back to the way it used to be, to where I could get out. And, but you know, when you have so many things pulling at you, I think about sometimes like that, you know, like he is. Sometimes I feel like he's been pulled apart. You know, people don't understand. You know, they feel like that he can't show them enough attention or can't talk to them. But I think, oh, if they only knew, you know, that during the night, so many times at 12 and 1 o'clock, you know, he's on the telephone talking to somebody, maybe in Jerusalem or in different parts of the world. And besides that, they don't, you know, our natural children and all the people here, that I think, Lord, make them to understand, you know, that he is human. You know, I used to tease him a lot because little David runs around somewhere. He got a little old Superman shirt. I think he got it. It was a little old U shirt or something, but they can't get him to hardly pull it off. Becky said, well, you've got to pull it off and let me at least wash it. But, you know, I thought, Lord, I used to tease George so much, you know, because I said, well, I know a lot of you older ones, these young ones may not know because I think they've changed things so much. But, you know, Superman used to be Clark Kent in our day. I don't know who he is now, but back in the comic strips, you know, that Clark Kent couldn't hardly find his shoes, I don't guess. You know, he was so fumbly when he, but once he became Superman, you know, he was, well, just, he was the greatest, you know, and I teased George a lot of times. I said, well, you might be everybody else's Superman, but you're still my Clark Kent. Because, you know, as a natural man, it hurts, you know, when I think about, like you said, when we travel. I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, you know, God spoke to me so many times since we've been here, because I was so used to being with him every minute. There was hardly ever a minute that we were separated. We'd stay in the car sometime for 4 and 5 days without hardly getting out, you know, sleeping with our little children in it. But yet our thoughts were so close that we didn't hardly have to carry on the conversation by word. But then we came here and, you know, seemed like things began to pull and pull, and it got bigger, and I'd get down to pray, and then I'd catch myself while I was supposed to be praying. You know, Satan would be saying, but what are you going, how are you going to pay this, and what are you going to do about this? I got, you know, like you said, the districts got farther and farther, but, you know, I believe with all my heart this morning that there's going to be a change. And I pray and I ask y'all to pray for me that I'll draw closer. I mean, I'm not blaming anybody else for it. It's my own neglect, but, you know, I wanted to say this morning, too, that Sister Marianna, she said, tell the sister, she said, I love them. And it was real love. It was genuine love. And she said, she laughed. She said, well, I said, I'm feeling your infirmity. She said, I fell and broke my arm. And I think she got to wear the cast about 6 weeks. And she said, well, how long did you wear yours? And I said, I'm not going to tell you. And she said, well, how long did you wear it? And I never would tell her, you know, because my daughters just kept insisting that I go and let them check it, you know, and they put this big old cast all the way up where I couldn't move, and it was so heavy. I come home and took it off, and I said, I can't. I'm in worse a shape than I was for a win. I said, I shouldn't have ever gone, because George had prayed for it when it happened, and it was, you know, all right. But to please him, I went on up there, and then I come back, and I said, I felt like David did, you know, when he saw wanted him to wear his armor. I said, get this thing off of me. I can't handle it. But Sister Marianna did. She said, oh, if I was down there, I said, I know. I'd get petted. I said, you sure would. I said, our sisters would see, you know, that you was taking care of. So I wish that all of you, you know, every sister in here that could take just a minute or two and send her a card or a letter or something to encourage her. She's up there. She's like 80, 81 years old now. And it would mean so much for her, and it takes so little of our time to do it. But like I was saying a while ago, that I told somebody yesterday that the Lord so many times, you know, tells me to stay in this little house. You know, these are little clay houses that we live in. It's not the real us. You know, it's just a little house that we live in. And the real me is on the inside of this little clay house. And sometimes, you know, we want to come out. Like George said, you know, the things of the world, you know, pull at us. But the Lord will say, no, stay in that little house. Keep the blood applied over the doorpost. The death angel's out there. Don't come out now. It's not time. But I'm so thankful that it's almost time, you know, for us to come out of these little houses. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is the day that we can come out of these little houses and then we'll be together, you know, in oneness again. Nothing else to separate us. So y'all pray for me this morning that I'll be a real light and, you know, be an example to the ones. You know, that's the only light that the world can see is what we produce. So y'all pray for me this morning.
You know, the truth of it is, if I was half as good as my wife, I'd be happy. She has been such a light. She's wrote letters and letters and letters and letters so many times to people. She makes me think of Paul, his epistles of writing. And there's nothing that's great except God. I'm less than nothing, just a helper of your faith. That's the least of all of you. But there is a greatness as to God. There is a greatness that is in God. And every one of us, if we're born again, we have a measure of that greatness in us. And we're ordained to the full measure, the full stature of that greatness. And it's up to us as to what we will surrender as to this idle man to go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Can we sing this song?
The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given. And the hills of hope are calling me. This house of flesh is but a prison, bars of bone, they hold my soul. But the doors of flesh gonna burst wide open when the angels set my spirit free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of all start calling me. I see loved ones over yonder, cares are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne, my Savior beckons, and the hills of home. Keep all this house of clay is but a prison, bars of bone, they hold my soul, but the doors of clay will burst wide open when the angels say, my spirit, I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle when the hills are all dark all of me. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Will the Lord stand high on heaven's balcony? That's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long till my toiling ends and you call me home? Since I come to of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keeps me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulahland, sing it again. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? When the Lord stands high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Let's lift our hands up together. I love Him. Oh,
And he prays to smile salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? If you've ever never given your heart to God, now this morning's the day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't wait till tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself, for the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. So, give the Lord your heart. Like the songwriter said, what can I give him? What can I give him of all that he has given? All was his from the start. What can I give him? I'll give him my heart. I'll give him my heart. All are standing here now. I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up and dismiss us. And while Richard is coming, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See, in the Word, in the faith, in the light, walking in the light as He is in the light. See if you be in the light. See if you be in the faith. See to walk in the light as He is in the light. And if you are walking in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. Folks, when you withdraw and you don't have fellowship with the saints, you're not walking in the mind of Christ. You're walking in your natural mind, which is the mind of the world, to lean to your own understanding. For if you walk in the light as the mind of Christ, you won't have fellowship with the intellectual darkness of your own human reasoning. You'll bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus, to lay up your treasures in heaven, to follow Him and where He is, as to the body of Christ Jesus, as to the membership of His body, there you will be also. And to do His will, and to delight in His will, to call on His name, and to praise His name, to walk in the light, even the mind of Christ Jesus. Then you'll want to be around the saints of God. For we know that we have eternal life, that we have passed from death unto life, because of the love for the brethren, to be drawn to the brethren, and the heart to be with the brothers. All right, so as the sisters with the sisters, so as the brothers with the brothers. When we're drawn together as the body of Jesus Christ, there's neither male nor female, but we love one another with all purity as brothers and sisters in Christ, even unto our Heavenly Father and to our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, even our Master, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Once again, we'll walk in. Just lift your hands and close your eyes. That beauty of life. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright.